All right, Rick Horowitz, our Sports Business Insider, and, of course, at the bottom, Tim Brando joins us. Rick, how are you, sir?
Hey, Rick.
Tim Brando is joining you at the bottom of what?
This hour.
Oh, you got to be a little clearer because most people don't understand what that might mean. I'm at the top. He's at the bottom. Good.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. I am great. I'm at the Carolina Hurricanes, New York Rangers game. We just did a segment with Don Waddell, who is the president and general manager of the Hurricanes, and kind of hockey in the Sun Belt is the topic. And then as long as I'm here, I think I told you, I might as well go to the Duke-Colorado State basketball game tomorrow, opening their season. And as long as I'm here, I might as well do the Duke-Notre Dame football. How about that?
Not bad.
That's not a bad weekend.
That's pretty good.
Good way to start.
It's fantasy sports weekend.
What Sunday? What game should I? What NFL game? I don't know if I want to go to an. I think I'll watch all.
What?
I may go to Indy to watch the Dolphins.
I was going to say, go watch your Dolphins. You got a winning streak on the line.
Why aren't you flying to Tuscaloosa with the president to see the Alabama and LSU?
By the way, I was in CNN yesterday, and they were passing around the credential that some political reporter was getting to cover that event, and they asked me to kind of help them understand football. So I got to explain football to you so you can go to the game, and you got a credential? What a waste.
See, I absolutely hate it when news organizations try to cover sports stories. Absolutely hate it.
But they're not going to cover sports stories. Well, they're going to cover Trump.
Well, the president eating shrimp and having a glass of wine. I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? It's crazy.
I know. Well, it's in touch with the base. So, obviously, here's the deal without getting too political, right? So he gets booed at the World Series with that group of audience.
Yeah.
So I guess he ensures that he's going to be supporting. So he goes to that football game in the Southeast. And then, you know, beginning of the week, he was at a WWF event, which is certainly his demographic. So I guess he's going to feel comfortable this week.
That's right. Yeah, be right at home. No doubt about it.
Oh, man.
Hey, football-wise, I saw something that interested me. The 49ers, surprisingly undefeated. The jerseys are not flying off the rack. In fact, they're not even in the top 10. No 49er player. How do you explain this? I mean, you got Jimmy G and all that kind of stuff. How come they're not selling merch?
Because you apparently have an overcharge for the number of letters on the back of the jersey, and Garoppolo is too expensive.
So, could be a good reason.
How's that?
Not bad.
You want to get the old guys, the three-letter words, like Milk Plum or one of those guys. So, I can't explain it yet. I think everybody looks at the Niners as a untested but fun team to watch. And I think if they enter the hard part of their schedule, I mean, how about, you know, if they win against Seattle, that's going to be – I think people will start focusing on the jerseys. Also, you know, there's so many newfound stars on that team. I think the Bosa jersey will ultimately sell more than anybody else's, and Jimmy G's too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Who's got the top-selling jersey right now?
Oh, geez. Don't answer that. That's just a team.
Yeah,
that's just a.
Listen, we know what the answer is. And, you know, same old, right? Let's see what happens. Although I will tell you this, after last week, there's a lot of cleat marks on the back of that jersey from Ravens shoes. How about that?
That's right.
Absolutely. No One game. I'm glad the Ravens took a celebratory championship photo, too.
Oh, nice.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, hey, what's the standard for you? Is it like, let's make sure we lose early because that takes the pressure off?
No, I hate that. I never think that way. I never think that way. I'm not that. And I'm not one where Belichick held back defensive schemes either because he's going to save it for the playoffs. No, that's stupid too.
No. That's wrong. But I will tell you this. Dolphins are one Seattle win against San Francisco away from popping the champagne again. All us Mercury Morris undefeated 17-0 guys.
Yeah. Yeah, Mercury Morris.
I was going to add, because I don't have children, thank God.
What?
Me. Because I would be a rotten father.
You couldn't handle it.
I couldn't. They'd be running every time they disobeyed. They'd say, take a lap.
Yeah, that works.
World champion Washington Nationals and Baby Shark. because these guys brought a Baby Shark a few months ago. I didn't even know what it was because I didn't watch those shows. I had no idea. But Baby Shark has taken over the World Series champion Washington Nationals craze and Halloween and all that stuff. But, I mean, really, through the roof, isn't it?
Well, but here's the good part about that. You know, the fact that you and I and Sheeman don't know about something modern is not really relevant because we're at the back nine. I don't mind being at the back nine. I mind being on like the 16th tee. Okay.
You're ordering a beer at the clubhouse. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the clubhouse. We see the clubhouse in our sights, right? We're already taking the gloves off, giving everybody the hugs. But what I do think we ought to take away from that is that baseball is doing something that relates to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the relevance is that the parents are buying stuff for a trick or treat, and we don't know how many kids know who Baby Shark really is, but it is something that baseball ought to be able to capitalize on and build on. Finally, a demographic for baseball that's under 40. 50,
yeah, yeah. 50, no doubt.
You know, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. It is a good thing.
Rick, yeah. The Chargers, Dean Spanos, had to give an adamant statement that he is not interested in shipping his team off to London someday. I know the PSL tickets in Los Angeles are not going well. They're selling for the Rams, but not the Chargers. And he had to make an adamant statement that he's not interested in going to London. Otherwise, everything he's trying to build in L.A. would stop in its tracks. But then again, I don't really believe owners or sports figures when they're adamant about something. They're usually lying. Is there any legs to interest in having the Chargers be the permanent team in London as opposed to, say, the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, you know, he makes an adamant statement and he has strawberries and cream for dessert last night.
Right.
So, you know, who knows,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Obviously, he makes a statement that says, look, as long as I own the Chargers, right, and that's the key, because, you know, people that move and they don't want to be gang pillaged,
yeah,
they sell a franchise first. That's not – I don't have inside information. I'm just suggesting to you that he's got to say what he said because that's important to his co-tenancy at the new stadium, which is going to be beautiful. And if they get by the next year, the new stadium is going to be absolutely fantastic for them, even though they're the second fiddle in that stadium. But they'll have their own fan base. Fan base is small. Whatever fan base they had, they might have lost. They got to recover it again. Will L.A. be able to support two teams? Who knows? But the only way you can do it, frankly, is a stadium that is state-of-the-art that's going to support two teams, like MetLife does with the Giants and the Jets. Doesn't really matter at the end of the day how they got there. You know, nobody's saying the Giants or the Jets can't be supported in that stadium. They can say the Giants and the Jets are two of the worst teams in the history of football, but that's a different issue.
And staying out in San Diego, and speaking of where the Chargers used to play, the San Diego State now is offering the city of San Diego $87.7 million for Mission Valley Stadium site where the Chargers used to play. So I guess all it takes is you get in the top 25. They're ranked 24th now, I believe, the football team, and get a new stadium. But is that surprising you at all?
Well, yeah, but it's got to be done this next week because if they lose a game, they're out of the top 25. away, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got to happen really quickly. Mm. No, you know, the bottom line about San Diego market is it's been so hard to get anything done with public money. For that matter, L.A. and San Francisco, and San Diego just was at the end of their rope as far as professional sports franchises. You know, they had a hockey team that was a minor league team. Their basketball team left to go up to be the Clippers, if you remember.
Yep.
Their football team as well. The Padres are doing okay, but they don't have the corporate support. So San Diego is just not a big time sports town, but, you know, good luck to San Diego State. Good luck to San Diego University, too. And that stadium, you know, is pretty interesting real estate. We'll do a story one day about what happens when, you know, college teams take over an existing stadium. I was in Atlanta yesterday and drove by Turner Field, which is now the, you know, Georgia State University football stadium that's different than the Georgia Dome. And they have 40,000 seats, and it's the home of the Panthers, and that's what the Georgia State team is called. So, you know, a piece of real estate that's a stadium shouldn't go to waste.
Rick Horrell's with us, our sports business insider with Schumann and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. With the NCAA being late to the party on athletes cashing in on their likeness and whatnot, 10 years from now, will the NCAA even exist? I mean, they're not even in charge of the college football playoff. That's a different group altogether. What purpose does the NCAA really serve once we move forward?
Do you remember the big case was Colorado, Oklahoma, and a few other teams wanting to do their individual TV rights deals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the slow unwinding of the NCAA. And the NCAA had an ability to be constructive and entrepreneurial and add to the discussion. And they haven't, really. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that they really do is run Division II, Division III, all of those other college sports.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, it's one of those things where it's really, really important for them to exert some control over what they can do. Right now you think of the NCAA and it's like, oh, they hand down these stupid rules and they enforce things that people don't want to enforce. But they do a lot of other stuff. And I think now is the time where they have no leverage or less leverage, that they start focusing on things that are positive and that they can control. One of the things that's going to have to happen over the next year is that the pay-for-play endorsement piece, now that they've announced the penalty, has to be done in a really positive, regulated way, so it doesn't look like you're penalizing anybody. So, like, the big school shouldn't be able to give more endorsement money to the kids because that's going to be a recruiting advantage. How about the other sports, the golf, the tennis, the swimming? Is there any endorsement money that's going to be available for them? How about women's sports, Title IX?
Yeah.
How about the Division I versus Division III? Got a lot of questions and very few answers.
All right, my man. Safe travels as you bounce around to
enjoy
all these sports. It's fantastic. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, my man. Talk to you soon.
All right, that is Rick Horro, our sports business guru. We talk to him each and every Thursday with Sheepman and Shepherd.